A recorder joined.
Good evening, everyone. Before I begin, I'll go over our virtual meeting norms. Please note this meeting is being recorded and will be posted for the public. All callers are to place themselves on mute until called upon. This helps with sound quality, as you know. Roll call is in place for attendance and for questions. When called upon for questions, if you have no questions, that's fine. But we do need to hear you say that. We do not want to assume you have no question if we can't hear you because you might have forgotten to unmute yourself. I will randomly select a committee member to move an action item. This does not mean that you necessarily support the item, but just moves it to the floor for discussion. To facilitate voting, we will do a negative vote. I will ask if anyone is opposed to an action item. Only speak if you are opposed. So for agenda item number one, call to order. I call this meeting to order for program June 10th. I'm looking for approval of the agenda. I will have Trustee Kathy I have not done roll call. Sorry, everyone. So we will do roll call first to make sure we know everyone who's on the line. Do I have Kathy Archer?
Here.
Trustee Don Danko had told me that she would be away, but just in case, Trustee Danko, are you here? Okay, I didn't think she was going to be able to make it. Trustee Penny Deese.
I'm here, thank you.
All right, glad to have you, Penny. Trustee Maria Felix Miller.
I'm here, thank you.
Awesome. All right. We'll move to staff now. I believe Peter Sovereign's on the line.
I am. Good evening.
Good to have you here, Peter. Superintendent Bill Torrens.
Good evening.
All right. And then do we have any other staff members present this evening?
Mark Taylor from Corporate Communications.
Okay. And then our minute taker, is it Kathleen this evening?
No, it's Tracy today.
Oh, Tracy today. Okay. Nice to have you with us, Tracy.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So with that, I will look for approval of the agenda. I will have Trustee Archer approve that, and we can move into item number three, French as a Second Language update. All right. So go ahead. Sorry.
Good afternoon. It's Superintendent Bill Torrens here. I hope everyone's doing well. It's my pleasure to provide an update on the French as a Second Language programming at HWDSB tonight. So the presentation will touch on each of the components of the report, the program overview, core French programming, French immersion programming, the DELF assessment, grade one application process, and next steps for programming within the board. At the end of the presentation, then there'll be an opportunity, of course, for questions and discussions. Slide deck has been shared in advance, and I will, as I did last week, I'll just cue everyone when I have moved to a certain slide. So I'm moving to slide two. The title at the top right-hand corner is French as a Second Language at HWDSB. I'll just give everyone a moment to make sure they've moved there in their slide deck, and then I'll start. So our French as a Second Language programming is guided by three core priorities set out in a framework for French as a Second Language in Ontario schools, kindergarten to grade 12. It's a ministry document developed several years ago to support the implementation of new curricula that was put into place in the last 7 years. The goals, three core priorities are to increase student confidence, proficiency, and achievement in French as a second language, or FSL, increase the percentage of students studying FSL until graduation, increase student, educator, parent, and community engagement in French as a second language. And as you can see from the slide, we have brought these core priorities to the forefront in our commitment, which is all students communicating and interacting with growing confidence in French. We have two FSL programs. One is Core French and one is French Immersion. Each of these programs differs in intensity, but they do share a common purpose: to support students in acquiring communication skills in French. The programs teach students to speak, read, write, and write in French through real-world language opportunities. And I'll get into that in greater detail in the next few moments. FSL learning also promotes the use of language learning strategies and an appreciation of French culture, both here in Canada, but in other regions of the world. So what is key is both of these programs, one is not privileged over the other. We see both of these programs as leading potentially to the DELF. That's the Diplomatie de langue française. It's an internationally recognized certification of French proficiency. And by grade 12, a student who has continued in either core French or French immersion does have an opportunity to challenge for the DELF at a given level. I'm going to, again, speak to that in detail, but I think philosophically our stance really speaks to that we have two different starting points, but we look to have one endpoint for our students who are engaged in French learning, and that is that DELF. It is an incredibly valuable certificate, often used by post-secondary institutions and also employers as a certification of your French proficiency. I'm moving on to slide number three. The top-hand corner says Core French, grades 4 to 12. Core French programming begins in grade 4, and students by the end of grade 8 must have 600 hours of French instruction. Typically, students will receive 200 minutes, scheduled minutes of instruction a week to make those 600 hours. We also need our students to acquire one grade 9 French credit to graduate. It's one of their 18 required credits. The Ontario curriculum in French emphasizes communicating a message by using students' knowledge of vocabulary, language conventions, and grammar, and using those in authentic situations. The curriculum itself is built on 7 enduring ideas, and I will highlight these ideas briefly because they are a marked departure from the approach taken possibly during our educational experience with French, where we would have experienced a program that had more of a grammar translation, an audio-lingual approach, meaning something that really focused us more on grammar conjugation and being able to translate and understand vocabulary more than using French for authentic purposes. So I'll quickly move through these 7 core principles. One is authentic oral communication, reception, production, and interaction. And the key here is that oral communication is our foundation for language learning. It needs to be relevant, connected to real life, and it is foundational. So instead of written French being a foundation, reading and writing French is a foundation, our starting point and foundation in our curriculum throughout the province is oral communication, which builds on to the second enduring idea, and that is listening, speaking, reading, and writing. And building off that oral language is key. So as the curriculum document describes it, if you can hear it, you can say it. If you can say it, you can read it. And if you can read it, then you can write it. And that is a cornerstone of French programming. So having students be able to use the language orally first and then take that experience and bring that into being able then to write more effectively and read more effectively in French. The third enduring principle is the development of language learning strategies, meaning that we want our students to be able to acquire a set of strategies that they can easily use given the language learning they're doing, similar as we would in English. We want them to be able to think metacognitively, which means they are able to plan and think about how they learn best and reflect on what has worked well for them. But we also want them to know that language learning is a social activity, that and for them to acquire the skills to interact in a social environment using French in an appropriate way and use the appropriate self-regulation and social communication strategies when they're learning French. The fourth pillar is the importance of language and culture, and certainly there is an equity component to this this enduring idea. The curriculum is really intended to build intercultural awareness and some cultural competency amongst its learners by valuing different cultures, valuing a second language, of course, but also valuing the wide diversity of Francophone cultures throughout the globe. The fifth is an emphasis on critical and creative thinking skills. So as with all of our curriculum documents, we want our students to be effective critical thinkers and creative thinkers. The challenge in French is to then have the language skills or the and the vocabulary to be able to produce your critical thinking in a second language. The sixth, goal setting and reflection, is around students being self-reliant learners, able to set goals for their own learning, follow direction, and be to acquire those, to meet those goals, and then, of course, to also reflect on what worked for them and what they need to learn next. And the very last and vital, once again, is making real-world connections. And that language learning happens in the world, and the program in a classroom in the HWDSD needs to find ways to make connections to real-life relevant learning opportunities and uses for French. So students see that important, the importance of learning a second language and how it would be valuable for them in the future. So I'm moving on to slide four, which is French immersion. Turning to French immersion, again, this program is also supported through those seven enduring ideas, but it is a more intense and comprehensive program, with students beginning in grade one and then potentially graduating with a certificate by the end of grade 12, a certificate of French immersion. In our elementary program, over the course of grade 1 to 8, approximately 50% of instruction is in French, but typically it's closer to 80% in grade 1, 2, and 3 as students are just starting to learn French. Students do get daily English instruction as well, beginning in grade 1 for 50 minutes. In secondary, our French immersion program, the graduation requirements remain the same as other students. But to earn that French immersion certificate, you need to earn 10 total credits in French. So four are the French language credits, so French as a subject itself, plus six additional credits in any subject area as long as it is taught in French. French immersion students do still need to earn their four English credits, grade 1 through grade 12 for graduation. So those four French credits do not replace the English credits. So for a French immersion student, they have quite a busy timetable, especially if they're in a pathway towards math and science, because they are adding a consistently second language into their program. So as you can see by the report, considering the starting place and the numbers of students who start in at one point in kindergarten and now in grade one, we do see that over time, the actual number of students who earn their certificate and move to grade 12 is relatively smaller. And as the as outlined in the report, there are several reasons for that. We do know that some parents decide that the program's not appropriate for their child. Some families decide at a transition point, say grade 5 to grade 6 or grade 8 to grade 9, that they prefer to move into English. For some students who have experienced some learning difficulties, families make a decision for them to move into English for different and additional support. And we do know that some students also do not choose to leave their school community to travel to Westdale or Sherwood, which are our two credit-granting French immersion programs. So I've covered our two programs very broadly, Core French and French Immersion, and I'm moving on to slide number 5, which, again, talks about that DELF. I did mention it earlier. It is our board destination. So when the program team is providing information nights for kindergarten parents in regards to grade 1 French Immersion registration, we talk about the DELF. We actually show the visual on slide 2 to parents, and we talk about it being a goal for whatever choice parents are making for their children, be it Core French or French Immersion, because we believe both are valid pathways. We do note that challenging the DELF happens at one of 4 levels for a secondary student, A1 to B2, with B2 being the most challenging. And we do know that our French immersion students do challenge at a higher level. However, our Core French students do quite well, as we can see by the they participate in good and fairly solid numbers and have an excellent success rate. I would add that the DELF itself is actually a lifelong credential. You do not need to recertify, so it's taken as a snapshot of that time and remains with you. It is managed by the French government through the French embassy in partnerships with school boards. So we are a DELF center. We have trained staff. That trained staff adjudicates the testing for the DELF over a series of days. And what we have found is in training our educators to become correcteurs, adjudicators, and of the assessment, because it does assess reading, writing, speaking, and listening, we've actually seen this to be actually a professional learning opportunity for those individuals, and our program in secondary is really starting to orient towards preparing students for this DELF because it is so very much a valuable credential. Moving on to slide 6, I want to now provide an update, as I mentioned, around the grade 1 registration process. Trustees will recall that our grade 1s right now are currently the second cohort of students who are registered through the online application process. So the students outlined in the chart and the report and on the slide are the third cohort to go through. So through these first 3 years, we've had sufficient demand or sufficient spaces to meet the demand from parents. We have not had to open additional classrooms. We've been able to meet those needs in the system, which was one of the goals of the original motion that brought us this process. In the first 2 years, all students who applied on time were placed in their home school, and of the late students over those 2 years, fewer than 15 out of approximately 1,200 students are in an out-of-catchment placement. So we found that as long as parents are registering on time in the first 2 years, they would be placed in their home school rather than offered an out-of-catchment placement. We do know that French immersion is incredibly popular, so we are watching, as an exec council team, we are watching and monitoring enrollment every year. And if we have concerns and additional ideas in terms of utilization, we will bring that forward to the program committee as appropriate. I do want to note that right now we have 664, and right now meaning effective May 1st, we had 664 students registered for grade one next year in Central Immersion, with 25 on the wait list. And the following schools, AM Cunningham, Earl Kitchener, Eastdale, Lawfield, and Mary Hopkins, are no longer taking students. So late applicants from those schools are being asked to are being offered a place at a neighboring school that has capacity. We do have 15 students who applied on time, but we do not have space in their school, so they're on a waiting list. And or their home school, the rest of the 25 individuals on the wait list were late applicants. We expect from our experience in the last 2 years that a number of families will opt out of French immersion between now and the first week of school. So our expectation is that many of those students who are on a wait list in another catchment placement will will be able to attend at their home school. If they do not, as a reminder, we encourage them to take the out of catchment placement, and we keep their names and encourage them, or not encourage them, sorry, we will, if space is available in the following September in grade two, then we offer them the place back in their home school. And moving to the final slide before discussions is around next steps. And I'll just swing back to where we started in terms of the ministry mandate around French as a second language. And that's to increase student confidence, proficiency, and achievement in French, to increase the percentage of students studying French, and to increase student, educator, parent, and community engagement in French. And those, and the next steps that we've outlined is absolutely intended to meet all those goals or support our work in meeting those goals. So we do want to continue to provide professional learning, not only through around Delft, but also for French immersion. We're doing that right now within networks with French immersion teachers online and supporting them through distance education. To ensure that they have a strong grounding in effective teaching practices, but also understand the curriculum, which, as I noted before, is less than 10 years old and is a marked departure to prior curricula. We were really interested in creating or building partnerships and experiential learning opportunities for our students to use French in an authentic way. So we have both a public and a Catholic French board within our neighboring us, or we share the same area. So, for instance, there may be opportunities, and we haven't explored this, but there may be opportunities to find ways for students to use to connect, and for the French board students to practice their English, and for our students to practice French, for instance. We continue to look at using digital tools to connect our students with other French first language students across the globe, potentially, and also for language development. We use e-learning as well to support kids in taking French courses if there is a challenge to them doing that due to their pathway. And I mentioned that before, students who have, for instance, a math science pathway may find it difficult to find space for French within their timetable. So e-learning and summer programming can be two options that supports kids in continuing in French. And the last is, again, an idea, but something that gained quite a bit of traction. And that is, how can we look at bringing two courses or more together, two subject area courses or more together, into an interdisciplinary studies program that could embed French with another subject, such as maybe in the area of family studies or the arts, to, again, increase engagement, support kids in a pathway. And that would be looking at having core French students engage in that more than French immersion students at secondary. So, in conclusion, French is a second language. With our two programs, we take the data that we've shared today with the committee as a baseline, and we intend to take these next steps and continue to work to meet the ministry mandate in terms of increasing participation, increasing engagement, and increasing our confidence and proficiency. And with that, I'll turn things back to the chair for questions.
Well, thank you very much for that report, Superintendent Torrens. I know that trustees in the previous board, they had really wanted to receive reports like this, and my understanding is this is the first time that they've received one to this degree. So thank you so much for the work that you've put into it. At this time, I'm going to go through our roll call and see if there are any questions. I will begin with Trustee Archer. Do you have any questions, Kathy? Oh, Kathy, you might be on mute.
Thank you. I am. My button freezes when it's on too long. I do have one question. I just didn't understand. It's something about 15 students applied on time, but they could not get a spot in their own school. Is that what I understood?
Okay. Superintendent Torrens?
Yes. Through the chair, we have 15, currently there's 15 senior kindergarten or year two kindergarten students whose family applied for a place in French immersion. And unfortunately, we did not have space at this time in their school. So we've offered them, we've redirected them to a neighboring French immersion school. They have a place on a wait list to return to their school if space does appear. Why do we do that? We do that because our commitment in the application process and strategy is that we will guarantee a place within the system, but we're not able to guarantee a place in their home school.
Trustee Archer? Any follow-up questions?
I'm hearing it, but I'm not understanding. Were those, obviously those openings weren't available to begin with. So when the students applied, I don't know. I'm a little confused. For families that are wanting to apply for their own children in their own school, would that information not be available so that they wouldn't bother applying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Or asking?
Okay, so I think I'll try and rephrase it. So the home school, so the school that would be in their catchment area for FI, there would have been there's only so many seats available for students, and so once they've reached that threshold, maybe Bill, could you walk us through what happens when a catchment area has too many people sign up for the program, and how we decide who gets to participate and who needs to be put on the waiting list even though they've applied before the deadline?
And thank you, and through the chair. So I'll start with the fall, and in the fall we do a series of parent information nights and some social media and letters to all year two kindergarten parents outlining our process. And our process does include that statement that our board process guarantees all families a French immersion placement if they desire one, but we cannot guarantee that in your home school. Parents then apply. We have quite a lengthy, close to 2 months application process through midwinter. We take the applications that do arrive. We, for schools where there are fewer applications than places, then everyone receives a placement. And for schools where there are more applications than seats available, and the seats available, I'll just note, that's based on the capacity of the school to be able to handle numbers according to its accommodations threshold. We then go through a two-step process. The first step is any student that has a sibling already in French immersion within that school, and that child will be in the school in the following year, we automatically place those students in their home school to keep families together. And then the remaining students are placed in a random selection process. We draw names until we reach capacity in the school. Those families are offered a place in their home school. The remaining families, we continue the draw, and then the remaining families are placed on a wait list in the order of their draw. As families move away from the school, or as families decide French immersion's not for their family, then we move into the families off of the wait list, and we offer them places throughout the year, and we'll do so right till the end of September. Of this coming September.
Trustee Archer, does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you for explaining. Now I understand. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
No, that was my only concern, and now I clearly understand. Thank you.
Great. All right. I will move then to Trustee Dees.
Thank you, and through the chair, I guess I have a few questions. So, and we talked about this before, Bill, is in regards to understanding the value of French, because, you know, students are enrolled in grade one, obviously at that age, students aren't seeing it, and we're seeing, you know, dropouts, which I think my first question is, are these consistent with other boards? Do we know that our dropout numbers are consistent with other boards?
Through the chair, I don't have comparator data with other boards. I can only speak to conversations with my colleagues in our local or our regional superintendents group, and we all experience a dropping off of students or a student leaving the program successively over time. So it is a provincial phenomena. However, I don't have data to bring in front of you on that question.
Okay. And the other thing is that core French, and I know we've talked about this before, is how are we promoting? Because like you said, a lot of students drop it in grade 9. And I think, you know, as I think we've had this discussion before, I think a number of them don't see the relevance or don't see how it can be helpful. And then I hear of students afterwards graduating, including my own, wishing they'd kept up their French. So how do we, or do we just encourage students to keep up their French? Are we doing any kind of encouragement along those lines? I think either with core French or FI.
We'll go to Bill.
Yeah, and thank you. And through the chair, we don't have a systematic, let's call it a marketing promotion process like we would with our SHISMs, which we've discussed here in program. What our belief is at this point is that the quality of the program would keep students in the program. we are exploring through those next steps or connected to those next steps to build excitement and maybe to build a more robust communication of the excitement of different types of activities around French, especially working towards the DELF, because we do feel the DELF is a compelling why for students to remain in French. I do think, as mentioned in the report, what is challenging for students who have a post-secondary destination is certainly finding space in their timetable for French classes. As the report on 3.2 notes, after grade 10, you can really see the impact on students looking to take French. It gets to be a much smaller number because clearly they're having challenges fitting that, for the most part, fitting it into their timetable.
Just a suggestion, would it be possible, because I think for students, grade 9, is there an opportunity into My Path, My Way? Because I think linking French to potential future careers, and like I said, I know we've talked about this where I believe if you have that DELF or that French designation, I think even, I don't know whether it's through the government or anyway, that you do get, additional money for that. I don't know whether it's salary or how that works out, but also just that opportunities, government opportunities and the opportunities that it opens up for young people if they have their French. I think that would be really helpful maybe because, like I said, what I've seen is that just, grade 9, they drop it and they don't really see the relevance or tying it to a career. So maybe that would be an opportunity through My Path, My Way. So that's, I guess, a comment, but maybe a question, too. Is that something we could do?
To them?
And through the chair, I think that's a wonderful suggestion. I'm going to take that back to the team in terms of making sure we have a DELF display as part of My Path, My Way. I do want to add just really quickly is I think having students remain in grade 9 on top of a strategy like that is around kids really enjoying French when they start it in grade 4 and 5 and 6. And if they really enjoy French in the earlier grades, we see that helps them want to continue French after grade 9. So I think we can bring both of those strategies together. So thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. And I'm just wondering, in regards to, and we've had this discussion before, in regards to core French, and NFI, and understand, why we moved FI down to grade 1. But we know that other boards, such as Halton, have kind of switched that around and moved their core French down to grade 1. So I'm just wondering if we've ever gotten any kind of data or feedback from Halton on whether that switch was successful.